Take your Bible this morning, turn into the book of 1 Timothy. We're going to 1 Timothy today. I left off of the study we've been on. I believe I'd kind of beat that to death. A lot more could be said. We know God wants for us to love Him, love His Word, love His church, love each other, love the lost. And we ought to be doing that this morning. But I want to start a study this morning that I've done before. And matter of fact, I'm gonna give you one of these. Most of you done had these, read them. Think about Sunday school, and this is a problem to me. Or not a problem, it ain't really a problem, but it's a burden. Down through the years, I've tried to take Sunday school to deal with certain issues. In certain things like the one I'm fixing to deal with this morning. And that's when you got your least crowd. Because on Sunday morning and Sunday night, that's when you got your bigger crowd. And that's when I've always tried to be evangelistic. In other words, try to win the lost. And not inform. But the last few Sundays I've backed up and been different on that. And some of the stuff that I normally teach, I'm preaching. And it's a headache and a heartache to a preacher when you got people in your congregation don't know some of the facts and you've already been teaching them and they don't show up at Sunday school. That's why I say we ought to be here at Sunday school. And because there's things we can cover on Sunday school we can't cover any other time. Or at least, unless we had more services. That's right. But I'm gonna cover this morning, how to identify a cult. I'm gonna give you a book. We're gonna go through this book. I've never done that either in preaching, but this book here, I wrote this book about 15 to 20 years ago. Put it out, and I read it yesterday. Hadn't read it in a long time. I read it yesterday. And it's as up to date as it can be. You can read more into it. I could make a thicker book if we went back and done it again. But we just condensed it when we did it. So, Troy, Dean, if you want to hand these out, see if anybody wants one. If you don't want it, don't take it. But you can follow along with me this morning. And you see where we're at. I want to deal with the cults. I read this information somewhere in the last week or two that there's over 5,000 cults in the United States of America. 5,000. Now, when you talk about cults, it's kind of, when you get to think about, what is a cult? Most people don't know what a cult is. And sometimes they confuse it with the occult, O-C-C-U-L-T. That's two different worlds. And most people don't know that. Why does so many Baptists jump into some of the cults? If you know your Bible, and you're versed in your Bible, and you're anchored in your Bible, it's the ground and pillar of truth, that's what the church is in the Bible, and if you're settled in what the Bible says, cults ain't going to bother you. The Jehovah's Witness will never get me. The Mormons never take me. Unless I go see now I'm crazy. And I may do that. But if you ever hear me jump into one of these, it's because our preachers went nutty. And when you do that, just pray over me and pray God's protection over me so I won't hurt myself. But anyhow, Seventh-day Adventists, they'll never get me into that. I'll never fall into Roman Catholicism. I'll never fall into the charismatic group. You know why? I'm anchored on what the Bible says. But you'd be surprised that the people sitting on the Baptist church don't know nothing much about the Bible. And that's why they follow and go to somewhere else and follow all this stuff. Amen. Now, I've been called a cult. If you stand for the truth of God, you'll be called it too. You see, it depends on who's given the definition and what side of the track they're on. The liberals are going to call me a cultist. They'll call our church a cult. Little churches like ours in some of the religious worlds and religious circles, they are called cults. And I've been called a brainwasher. What you do is you brainwash your people. I hope I haven't brainwashed you. Amen. I hope I've just declared the truth and you've accepted the truth. You got the right to reject it. And when I get through studying this, you'll see we can't be a cult. Cult holds the crowd. They forced them. And we're going to look at that. And I pray that the Lord might help you to understand these things. And we'll deal with cults today. Now the occult, I will give you the terminology of it today. And you're not seeing none of that in this book yet, are you? But the occult is those who deal with magic, sorcery, astrology. You find somebody that's looking at the signs. People tell me what sign I am, Virgo, I think it is. And you know, and they'll talk about, you can't do it. And you find people running after the signs and they're getting toward the occult, leaning toward it anyhow. These are people who are looking for spiritual, supernatural powers from somebody. It's actually, they're looking for the spirit world. There is a spirit world. Just like there's the Holy Spirit, there's the unholy spirit. It's like Christ is the head of the church and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The devil is the author of the occult. And you look at it, you'll find that people are looking for mysterious things and mysteries. They're looking for something to satisfy them and pull into their mind to understand. They're looking for the powers of darkness or somebody that's going to, you know, do something. The occult is demonic. Now I realize the word demon is not in the Bible. It's not. And I call them demons and demon possessed and demon, you know, controlled. And that's a word we use. But there's a lot of words that's not in the Bible that we use. Rapture's not in there, but I believe in it. But demons, that's demonic spirits of the spirit world, that the devil's got his little cohorts that helps him. That's the occult. A business like Ouija boards and horoscopes. And a lot of Christians have read the horoscopes and followed some of that stuff and some laughed at it, but it's not something to play with. You just leave all that alone. I stayed away from it. Mediums, people try to have seances and talk to the dead. I have more trouble talking to the living than I ain't looking for the dead. Amen. Living and give me problems. And I'm thinking about all those things, and they look at it. And there's a difference between the cults and the occults. I want you to get that specifically. You might, most Baptists, most church members, they don't know the difference between the two. They have confusion. What's what? And I hope that I'm not confusing you this morning. There's a difference between a cult and the occult. Some of these others are demonic. That's the cults, I want to tell you, but they're classified as cults, those who lead you astray. Now look with me, please, in 1 Timothy 4:1, you'll find that's the scripture I started off with in this little booklet. And it said, now the Spirit, and that's capitalized, that's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, very plainly, precisely. Amen. Absolutely. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. And I mean, in other words, it's going to happen. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And we can give you some reasons why they depart from the faith, but it says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Look what they're giving, what they're departing for. They departing from the truth and going to giving heed. That means they're giving over to it, giving their will over to it, doing, getting involved in it. That they're giving heed to seducing spirits, letting them have control of their lives. and doctrines of devils. There's a lot of doctrines of devils. We could preach a long time, teach a long time on doctrines of devils. We really could. We could preach a long time on seducing spirits. Seducing means to draw to pull, to entice, to lure. And these seducing spirits are in the world. I have to face it every day. You have to face it every day. We're not exempt because we're Christians. Paul's writing to the Christian here. He says that in the latter times. And if you'll notice, it's worse now than it's ever been. It is. We've got more religions in the world. I said a while ago, 5,000 different cults and what they've come up with. And I don't know who wrote that, who put it out. I've forgotten, but I do know that there's a lot of them. You have little cult crowds within some of your churches. You get a little crowd in your church and they'll one of Baptist churches I'm talking about. I don't know much about the other. Well, I do know a good bit about them, but I've had experience with the Baptists. And the Baptists, you have one group in some churches that believe in eternal security, which is biblical. And you'll have some in the same crowd that believe you can lose it. And then you've got another little crowd in the middle of it that ain't sure which one is right. And so you have to get everything settled. You have to know what the Bible teaches and what the doctrines of the Bible is before you ever be able to stand on your own two feet and be able to discern the spirits. Amen. One of the gifts of God is discerning the spirits. And most everybody's trying their best to get the one that, kind of magnifies the flesh and they're all excited about speaking in tongues. And that's one of the gifts there. But you look at that. Guess what? I want that discerning of spirits. That's what I'd like to have if God gives me anything. I want to know where you're right or wrong when you're speaking to me. And I'd like to have the Spirit. You see, there's two things that will help you to understand that. Number one is the Spirit of God, and the other is the Word of God. And them two things has to be very close to you, or you're going to fall and swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. And I don't want to do that. Amen. I want to have that spirit of discernment. I've had people tell me they had that spirit of discernment, and you just watch how they live. They're not discerning too good. I want to be able to discern what's right and what's wrong. And God wants you to know, and that's why he gives you the Bible. But he said there's going to be in the last days some that are going to give heed. They're going to listen to them. Not only going to listen to them, they're going to start picking up and following them. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He goes on a little bit more, saying in verse number 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy. That's what this does. That's what the doctrines of devils and the seducing spirits cause you to do. Speak lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, their conscience gets seared to where nothing seems to bother them. And that's what he said that happened in latter days. We're living there today. People have seared consciences. I always think about a seared conscience. Brother Virgil understand this more than probably you ladies in here. But you can take an old nylon rope or any kind of little, actually about any kind of rope. And if you don't do anything to the end of that rope, it'll just ravel out, won't it, Brother Virgil? It'll just keep raveling out. And if it's plastic or whatever it is, you'll take that rope, and if you'll just take a little lighter or something and burn the end of it and kind of pinch it off, it'll quit raveling. Now, you ladies nodding your head like y'all must have had some experience with that. But that's true, isn't it? And that's what happens, and that puts a crust on the end of that rope. It puts a hardness on. That's what these seducing spirits do. And it does that to the conscience. It sears that conscience. In other words, it makes that conscience hardened to where it cannot be touched anymore. And there's a lot of people you can preach to, you're blue in the face, and you can drop over in front of them, and they'll never change what they're thinking is simply because their conscience has been seared. And we're living among people like that today. God said that would come. Right? And he goes on to say that verse 3 said forbidding to marry. We've got religions that believe that. Won't let them marry. forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. I know religions that won't let you eat certain things. Some won't let you eat pork. Some won't let you eat nothing meat. And abstaining to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And he said, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And I know what they're doing. They're going back and pulling out the Old Testament law and coming all the way back from Genesis. Well, as a matter of fact, it wasn't law, even before the law. And because man was made as a vegetarian to start with, eat herbs. Amen. And God knows the perfect diet. It would be a perfect diet for us. But man has been hardened, and God allowed him to do this. And he says, it's good with thanksgiving, you know, and giving God the praise and the thanksgiving. We're not into that. But cults major on certain things, and most cults will major on a certain little issue. They really will. So let's look at some of this today as we study in this little book. It says there's so many in this day that are falling for everything that comes along. It's because it usually sounds good and looks good, smells good, and they like it. But you're not to run after everything that looks good, sounds good. It's not always right. Amen. Multitudes have been in the churches all their life, and I've seen this, that's the reason I wrote it. They've been in their church all their life, but now they're being led astray by certain religious people, religious groups. If I've got a church that's full of people that are anchored in their Bible, it won't bother me if the Jehovah's Witness visit today their home, and the Mormons next week, and the Pentecostals the next week, and the Seventh-day Adventists the next week, because I know they're anchored. But these people that just got question marks, say some folks walk in that you can see question marks all over their brain, their mind. You can see it, they wear a question mark tie and a question mark dress and a question mark suit. They just, you can tell right quickly they don't know to, and you, when I preach, I preach sometimes, and I look at people when I'm preaching and they're looking at, until right then, they don't know what, they're not anchored. And that's what we're having a problem with. Most time, and a lot of churches don't preach the doctrines. It's amazing to me, and I've had people to tell me this. I preached things, and they said, you know, I never heard, and I said, you've been going to church how long? Oh, I've been in church for 30, 40 years, and you never heard this? Either I'm preaching something that's far left, far fetching, it's not real, or you've never heard the truth. Something's wrong. And then I tell you what, it must be nice to be in a church somewhere where you hear the things that you're preaching. And then I said, well, come on over. And they never come over. Not long ago, a fellow sitting in a restaurant, he said, you know, said, I've known you for how long? I said, I don't know, about 40 years at least. He said, yeah, I guess so. He said, you know, I never heard you preach. I said, well, shame on you. You know where our church is? He said, I'm going to get up by one of these days. And that was about 6, 8, 9, 10 months ago. Amen. I've had people come in the door and they come in and sit down under the service and leave and they say, you know, I ain't heard no preaching like that. You brought out some things I never seen in my life. Boy, I tell you what, that's not, I'm gonna come down and see you. Listen, I got to get in a church where I can hear stuff like you're preaching. And they never show back up. Something happened. You understand what I'm saying? And our churches are filled with stuff just like that today. People not really interested in what the doctrines of the Bible is. You ask the average Baptist, say, what are the Bible doctrines? Well, let's see. And they start some, and if they ever give you a doctrine, sometimes it's not one of the Bible doctrines, it's just a ritual you go through. What are the Bible doctrines? I may be asking that today, and some of you may not know. We'll have to get on to that. But what I'm trying to get at you this morning is that people sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, but somehow they're missing something. And then when a Jehovah's Witness comes and knocks on their door, guess what happens? They say, we'd like to have a Bible study with you. Well, ain't nobody in the church come by and want to have a Bible study with them. And if you did, they probably wouldn't want to have one with you anyhow. Amen. But here rank strangers come out and come to your door and they'll set up a time. And listen, them people have been trained. They've been taught. They know everything and I can throw at them. I know. Amen. I've dealt with them at doors. I've tried my best to win them over. I've tried my best to honor them in the sense of trying to give them the gospel. I've tried to preach them, and they keep throwing their rotten doctrine. I ain't never seen but one Jehovah's Witness that I ever seen to make any headway with. I lived in one little area down in Atlanta when I was down there for a few years. They'd come through. You can just about tell them by clockwork. You'd have the Jehovah's Witness 1 week, and the next week be the Mormons. And Jehovah's Witness would come with their little satchels, and they'd knock on my door. And they noticed the church pastorium. They knew that because it had been there in church, right in the churchyard anyhow. And they would throw things at me, and I'd throw it back at them. And they couldn't get nothing on me. And all of a sudden, here comes a fella. One Saturday morning, I'm sitting on my porch. That's a little dangerous thing there sometimes. And I'm sitting on my porch early on the Saturday morning, and here comes this car, drives up, nice young-looking young man. And he come walking up, and I didn't think he was a Jehovah's Witness. And he come over and spoke to me and sat down beside me and started talking to me, and come find out he was one of the head boys. The others had done been there, and he's going to come. And we got to talking, and I didn't gain nothing on him. He didn't gain nothing on me. But one day, where I'm living now, a car pulled up, and he had three or four in. He always had three or four, usually. That's why it bothered me about this man. He didn't have himself. But this fella got out, and he come walking up on the door, up on the porch, and I'm talking to him. It's been several years ago. And he said, I said, what in the world are you doing in this kind of stuff? He said, you know, and he was older than I was. He said, you know, I'm 55 years old. Said it took me to be 55 before I ever found out the truth. I said, sir, you ain't found out the truth. I said, here you are 55. Of course, I was younger and I could say that. I wouldn't say it now because I passed that age. And I said, well, you're 55, one foot on the banana peel and the other in the graveyard. And you ain't found the truth. And I started preaching and the Spirit of God got on me and I got to tell him about Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary. And I watched that Jehovah's Witness tears running down his face and I tried to win him to the Lord. And he's trying to get away and I follow him just about all the way, almost all the ways back out to the car. It's the only one I ever seen do that. I've wondered lots of times whatever happened to that man. But as a general rule, they know more about what you believe than you do. You tell them about virgin birth and, oh, they got their way about it and they'll tell you, you talk about hell and they'll give you more things about hell than you even think about. They'll tell you it's the grave and they'll give you scripture after scripture. And you look at that and you say, well, I ain't never seen that scripture. The reason I know that is years ago when I first got into the ministry, the Mormons come by my door. They come by one day. I went out and they had a little Pinto and it was full of Book of Mormons. I didn't know where they was at. I didn't even know they were there. They were in the community. They parked in my yard. And went out working the community. And I said, all right. I went and got every information I could find on the Mormons. I didn't know a whole lot about them at that time. Young. Didn't know a whole lot about nothing. But anyhow, was learning. And I said, when they get back over here, I'm ready for them. I'm going to pounce on them like a chicken on a June bug. I'm going to get them. And I studied and studied and studied, had all this ready. And I looked up and there went the little Pinto. They didn't even come to my door. And I said, how about that? They know not mess with me. But guess what? The next day when I wasn't looking for them and wasn't inspected, they come straight to my door. And I started giving them some scriptures and things about it. And they said something about, I said, well, we're King James around here. We just believe in the King. He said, oh, we believe in the King James Bible too. I said, you carry? He said, oh, yeah, we use it. I said, you got one? He said, no, I left it in the car. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? If I believed the Book of Mormon was the Word of God, if I believed the King James Bible was the Word of God too, I'd carry them both. And if I believed five more books was the Bible, I'd carry them off. I had to get me a wheelbarrow. That's what I told him. And then they said, well, they're talking about we want to baptize for the dead. Got on that subject. And I'm looking down and saying, what are they talking about? If I'd had anybody standing beside me, I'd have said, do you know what they're saying? And I shut my mouth that day. You know why? I didn't have nothing to say. I didn't know what they're talking about. And they read a verse of scripture out of the Bible. And I'm saying, when'd that get in there? I never seen this before. I know what it is now, but I'm telling you then I didn't. Understand what I'm saying? And it's because of the ignorance of God's people today that the culture taking and making such a thing in the world. I left and that place after visiting about 5 years in that area, and we covered most about every house there. Had a lot of trailer parks, won people to the Lord. God had blessed it. I left it. Several years later, I had the privilege of going back there. Went into that same area. I think you heard me tell this. Went back in that same area, and I was knocking on doors, and people, Oriental people, had moved in. We had people that were Muslims in there, Buddhist, and those sort of people living in them places. And I didn't know how to talk to them. Matter of fact, some of them I couldn't even understand. There's no way I could talk to them. A lot of Spanish people couldn't talk to them. And I watched our country switch over to that. No wonder we got 5,000 cults. No wonder we've got such a mixed multitude of people in the country. No wonder people believe what they want to believe. Just about anything you want to believe today, somebody's already thought it up. And if there's something that you think up and hadn't been around, hang around, go up there and sit on the square in the gazebo. It won't be long. There'll be another two drop in there and start a religion with you. Because they work on that. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. Well, you see, all that ain't in this book, is it? But I'm saying to you this morning as we look at this, that why does this stuff happen? It's because they're not anchored in the faith. They're not in the Word of God. They haven't been taught the Word of God. They're going to the wrong place. I know people that's been in the church, same church, for 40, 50, sometimes even 60 years. And they would not move where they're at to go hear the truth down the road, even though they've sat under preachers that used to preach on the with the King James Bible. That preacher's left. Another one's come in, picked up a different version, reading out of the NIV, preaching out of it. Them same people sitting there, they weren't anchored enough in the faith to even wonder about that. And they'll say he's preaching out of the Bible. And they call it a Bible. And I see that. And some say, well, I would leave. I had a woman tell me this not too long. I would leave that place. But my cemetery plot is on the church property. And if I leave, I may not get to use that cemetery place. Isn't that something to stay at a church for? Huh? And I've thought about that. Why do people do this? It's because they're not anchored. If you get anchored in the Word of God, you're not going to let nothing else bother you. It may disturb you. It may give you some kind of question marks and trying to seek out the truth of things. But it's not going to make you jump ship and give up everything that you've heard. Now, there's some folks need to jump ship because the ship's leaky. Amen. But I want to tell you something. You're in a good church somewhere teaching the Word of God, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I hope this church always stays. It worries me after I'm gone what might happen. Preachers are dying out, and younger preachers are coming in, and they're giving in to things, and it bothers me. But we see this today. Some have become involved in the cults out of these dead liberal churches because they're looking for something. They're not satisfied. If you keep looking for something to satisfy your soul, you're going to be in a turmoil. Amen. I have to search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that speak of me. I want you to know, we need to search the Scriptures continually and daily. And every child of God needs to search and make sure that you're in the faith. Now, that's biblical. You say, well, I just like that church. They go to certain churches because they like the preacher, they like the choir, they like some of the members. That's not a way or a reason to establish yourself and put your family in churches. I like to go into certain churches because they've got something for my children. Amen. Well, this church has got something for the children. Same thing it's got for the old people. Preaching the Word of God. What do they need? You see what I'm saying? And that's what we need, to raise them up under the admonition of the Scriptures and out of the Word of God. And I mean, you know, these cults sometimes can answer some of the questions that people have given and asked. And these cults are pretty good at it because they've been studying that for a long time. Amen. Some of these people that are jumping ship and going to the cults, and I hate to say it, but have never been saved, never been birthed into the family of God. So they don't know the Lord. Or they're in a liberal church where the preacher hasn't studied the Word of God. There's a lot of preachers. And I want to say this. I heard Oliver Green say this yesterday. I didn't know I was going to mention it this morning. But he said, the young preachers, he said, some of them, he said, they've made preaching as a hobby and as a side job. Said they're making livings and more interested in making livings than they are in the preaching of the Word of God. And he said, God has made them and given them the preachers to preach the Word of God that they understand. So he told the truth, and that's absolutely right. We've got a lot of that. Now, that's the first lesson on the cults. 5,000 cults in America. What about that? A lot of them, isn't it? And they're trying to pull people to the side, and they'll try to pull you to the side. But if we can get you anchored in the Word of God, and if you can get anchored in God's Word, you won't have to worry about what somebody else believes. As long as you know what God teaches in His Word. There's a lot of things I don't have an answer to out of the Scriptures. You know why? I ain't got there yet. I'll have a better knowledge of it when I get on the other side. But God's given me enough I think I need, or that He thinks I need to get me to there. And He'll give me the rest of it if I need it. And I'm learning every day. I'm not a scholar of the Bible. I'm a student of the Bible. Amen. Years ago, I thought I knew more than I know now. The older I get, the more I find out I don't know. Scares me. But the Bible's good. Appreciate it. All right, we'll stop right there. We'll pick up next week, and I pray that God will help you as we study the cults.